chases fear away. Chases fear away. Yeah.
Welcome to the Max Velocity Athletics Jumping It Podcast. I'm your host, Jeremy Fisher, and welcome captains, coaches, athletes, parents, therapists, administrators, instructors, newbies, and supporters. Again, you can catch me on my different social media platforms. You go to MaximumVelocityAthletics.com. You got a lot of great content on there. We just announced the 2023 summer track and field camp for ages 12 through 19. It'll be the second year we're doing this. We had about 40 kids and coaches last year. We're hoping to get about 60 to 70. I don't want to have too many, so I will cut it off at a certain number. I don't want 120 kids out there. I think that loses some of the coaching, so we definitely will have limited spots there. You can find that at maxvelocityathletics.com. You can follow me on IG at JeremyFHJ. You can also email me at jeremyfisher@mvatraining.net. And you can always ask me questions at anyquestions.com/JeremyFHJ. Any questions, like I said, is a great app. Fantastic app. You can follow physiologists, you can follow kinesiologists, you can follow strength and conditioning coaches, nutritionists, whatever it may be, the best in their areas, and ask them questions. And sometimes I don't even ask questions. I'm just listening to questions answered by these professionals and titans in their given professions. It's pretty awesome. So definitely check it out at anyquestions.com. This is kind of a fun little series right now. Again, it was like we covered the first week periodization and annual plan. In the last podcast, we talk about biomotor abilities. And then what I'll talk about today is kind of piecing that together and how we kind of put it together. We'll get into specifics when we talk about sprints, hurdles, when we talk about the long trip, the jumps, how we kind of put that together. But I'll just give you a general sequencing of how we put training together. My influence on putting my training inventory together had to do with the fact that we basically had about 3 to 4 warm-ups, and I used those warm-ups from my freshman year till, and I stayed training till about 3-4 years after, and I did the same warm-up, you know, same few warm-ups all the time. And also, as I've educated myself and learned more about certain things, I've also incorporated some more aspects. So a warm-up is what it is. It warms you up, but I definitely feel that there's things that you can do in the warm-up, and especially in the cool-down, that can help lead to less soreness, less fatigue, being more prepared for your next practice. And so the biggest thing between elite athletes and I think high school athletes and even collegiate athletes is the elite athlete has a lot more time for that ancillary or auxiliary things. So it's a lot of the little finite things that they can do. And they have the time for that because a lot of times they're professional athletes and practice can be 4 to 5 hours. We're not training that whole four or five hours, but I can pretty much healthily say that about 90 minutes of that will be geared towards and used for cool down and warm up. So those are key important components of the training inventory and plan. So for my athletes, different days, we do different things. We may jog. One of the things I like is jog mobility. Jog mobility, basically what we're doing is every 50 meters, we're doing something different. So it could give you a backward run, a zigzag, side to side. It could be karaoke. It could be skip and stoop, skipping with rotating the arms, jogging backwards, all those different kind of components. And through that, I have 6 different mobilities. And in my warm-up inventory, they actually can create 51 different warm-ups. And so if you sign up for MVA services, you can actually get access to all those inventories and training and videos and everything else like that. So that's a pretty cool plug for myself, but it is really, really cool. But as we sit there and we look and we finish our jog or jog mobility, basically we're warming up the three planes of the body. So we've got transverse plane, we call it occipital or frontal plane, and then we do the sagittal plane. And so we're warming all those aspects up. And then after that, I like the athletes to take about 10 to 15 minutes. And in that time, I like them to do faster stretch. They may do some LDOAs. They may roll out. We know that rolling on a ball with the different parts of the fascia can help stretch it out, get those trigger points I wouldn't say completely negated, but it can help loosen up some of the fascia and stuff like that with those hot trigger points. So we spend that time, and that's a great time if you want to ask the athletes how they're feeling. If you're doing RPEs, you can ask them then. You can kind of assess. I like the athletes psychologically. I tell them too, hey, we're starting to make that transition into being an athlete. So we're going to allow a lot of that other stuff to kind of get out. Let's be mindful. Let's be kind of in the moment and kind of start to switch our brain on to what we're trying to do. And so it's a great time for those kind of things. After that, we go into dynamic flexibility, and that's stuff on the ground. You can do, we call it Jane Fonda series, where you're doing leg kickbacks, you're doing fire hydrants, you do it opposite touches while you're on all fours. You could be doing plows. You can be doing lead leg lifts, trail leg lifts. We call them eagles or scorpions. Or you can do hurdle exchange switches. A lot of this stuff is on the ground. So I like to call that dynamic flexibility. We're warming up through the body from head to toe, kind of getting things loose, getting range of motion and stuff like that. Then after that, I call it muscle mobility. Muscle mobility things that we're standing on our feet. So we progress from on the ground to doing things like window wipers or prisoner squats or single leg cherry pickers, or there's a whole, I mean, as coaches, you guys know what those things are. So again, you can see some of the videos actually on Maximum Velocity Athletics if you want to see how I break it down and how the videos are done. From there, then I like, you know, it varies on different days. Then sometimes we'll go and we'll do hurdle mobility from there. We'll do some balance drill sometimes, sometimes on disc, standing for like 15, 20 seconds, working on our proprioception, our balance, things like that, eyes closed. We'll do slant board work where we're doing squats, things like that. We'll be doing hip mobility, or we're really trying to get the capsule, the hip capsule. So we'll do extra large bands. We'll tie them to stable structures, and we'll kind of move through hip modalities and things like that through that. From there, then we go into walking drills. Walking drills can be knee to chest, heel to butt, Buddha sits, hip sits, lunge and twist, lunge and leans, all those different kind of things. We do about 6 to 8 of those. And then we get into what we are call or reference into speed or acceleration drills. My different kind of philosophy on those is if we're doing an acceleration day, the warm-up and the drills are acceleration bound. So that means smaller ranges of motion. We want to keep lower heel recovery through the drill. So we're not doing full A's, we're doing low A's, low B's. We're doing, instead of high karaoke's, we're doing quick karaoke's. We may do 1-3-5, which is leaning against the wall and doing those quick drills. We may do pitter-patter, but the emphasis is low, quick, fast heel recovery stuff. And then for speed development day or max velocity day, then we'll do the full ranges of motion where we're trying to get tall in our hips, where we're doing those A-skips all the way up, where our thigh is getting parallel to the ground, and emphasize like that. So I want them to be a lot of correlation and a lot of kind of, sometimes we call it priming to get ready for what we're trying to do that day. So the athlete knows to prime themselves and get ready. So either acceleration short, max velocity or static, open up a little bit more and things like that. And then for a jump day, we may have some jump priming kind of things, multi-jumps, things like that. And so that's a lot of just the warm-up. Then, you know, we have different kind of training inventories. So, you know, the creativity, we'll talk about, you know, kind of where we designate for speed tempo, all intensive tempo, extensive tempo, speed power, all the A-lactate, all that kind of stuff. We can talk about that at another time, and we'll talk about that specifically. And then you can have, you know, more multi-jumps, jump-specific things also that can be designated towards that. And then you can look at bounding, plyos, all those different kind of aspects. And as a coach, the more training inventory you have, it's good for you because then the athlete can kind of look at like a cookbook and it's a reminder to yourself. I mean, even when I'm writing workouts, they're probably only about 60 to 70% true. I'll change things as I'm looking at the athletes, I'm seeing, but the background of what I'm trying to do for that, you know, that whatever it may be, 4 week, 3 week cycle, whatever, 5 week cycle, will look and be able to keep building from those certain exercises. So as coaches, I say, like, write it out, have that training inventory, have that put together. That's kind of the design as far as warm-ups. That also is key. My warm-up for competition is pretty long. So for my athletes, I like them to be there 90 minutes, and it's methodical. It's slow going through the different, you know, things, whether they're getting on the table to work with the therapist, all that stuff, all that's put in there. Even the marks that they have, what their block settings may be, what their steps are to the first hurdle, what their settings would be to for their approach in both feet and meters, just so you're covering everything like that. So I try to be as thorough as possible with my athletes and them being able to kind of have those different components. So that's talking about training inventory, modalities, things like that. I think we'll definitely get into more specifics as we talk about that, but that's a nice put together in regards to correlation, intensity as the season goes through, and having specificity with even your warm-ups into what you're trying to accomplish for that day. So you can use that time to really coach good positions. Everyone says, well, doing those sprint drills and stuff doesn't make an athlete faster, but I've never seen a fast athlete do those drills bad. They're pretty concentrating and doing what they do, and they're going through the motions in good, deliberate movements. So that's all for that. That's all I wanted for this time. Like I said, I'd finish off with kind of a therapeutic modality every time. This time we'll talk about a little bit of foot stuff. One of the things I get a lot is shin splints. And so one of the things I'd say, if you have full-blown shin splints, one of the things, go onto YouTube, look at arch taping, okay, a lot of times, because the arch fatigues, that can really affect the shins. And so look at taping of the arches. There's some good YouTube ones on that if they're full-blown. Then if you're looking for exercises to prevent them, to keep them strong, one thing I say, try to minimize how much you're in spikes. Spikes are really, can be very, very hard on the foot, the ankles and the shins and all those different kind of things. Other things you look at is start doing barefoot things, walking drills, heel walks, calf raise walks. You do stuff in the sand. You can do some of those walking drills in the sand. That's a good way to do it, even for a cool down. You can even start to, you know, on a lighter day, you can do barefoot some of the sprint drills or acceleration speed development drills. Those are good, being barefoot and building the strength up like that. Things like we like to do, pick up marbles. So take about 20 marbles, put it on the ground, and have the athlete with each toe pick it up and put them in the put them in a Tupperware or something like that. The other thing we like to do is like dry erase boards with dry erase markers. They can draw like their mascot, or they can go through the ABCs and stuff like that to help build their strength. And then obviously there's some good, really good stretches you can do sitting on your feet, using the slant boards. Those are great for shin stuff. So that's a big question I get. And so, you know, like I said, look on YouTube for arch support if it gets that bad, but a lot of barefoot things you can do to get them strong. Thanks for tuning in, and we'll catch you next time as we continue on with this periodization.